I speak to you in the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. So this time of year, we are jumping around in our lectionary. Just 4 short weeks ago, we had Jesus in the manger. And now, last week, we read from the Gospel of John and heard about Jesus' first miracle, which was at a wedding. Oh, good job, wedding in Cana. So, A plus. So, but then this week, we turn back to the Gospel of Luke, which is the gospel that we're going to be hearing from until now, until next Advent. And so today we hear of Jesus' first public appearance after his baptism and his 40 days in the wilderness. So Jesus has returned to Galilee, and he is going to the synagogues and teaching, which was normal for any rabbi teacher of the time. And Jesus walks into the synagogue in his hometown in Nazareth. Now, let's be clear. This is not the great temple in Jerusalem. That's going to come later. This is just a small local house of worship and study in Jesus' hometown. Scholars believe that Nazareth was probably a pretty small community, maybe 20 or 30 families gathered together. They were worker families. There was no aristocracy. The people who were there are what we would call today a bunch of average Joes. So true to what would happen in a synagogue in that time, like today, a piece of scripture is brought out and read, and then there would be a teaching on it. And so Jesus is given this scripture, the roll from Isaiah. Did he ask for it? We don't know. We just know it's what he was given. But we know that he unrolls it until he finds this passage. And he reads to all who are gathered there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus just sits down. I like to think of it as the original mic drop moment. And everybody kind of stops. They look at Jesus. And Jesus simply says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That's right. To this small, nobody, working class group of families, they're the first to hear that Jesus is the Messiah, and that the work of the Messiah is not triumphantly to go and immediately fell the Roman Empire. Though we might wonder what would have happened if everybody had followed Jesus, what would have happened to the empire? But that's a sermon for another time. Despite expectations of what the Messiah might have been, that day in the synagogue, in that moment, Jesus makes clear the work of the Messiah is to help those most in need. And that if we help those most in need, we will realize that there is enough, abundance even, and we can proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus says there need not be poor nor captives if we cure our blindness to need and the oppression of others. Now, an interesting note for all the Greek scholar nerds out there, I know that there are at least a few, But the tense that is used when Jesus says the scripture has been fulfilled, grammar nerds can get in on this also. The verb tense for fulfilled is the perfect tense, which means the action is ongoing. It began with Jesus and continued through his ministry and has been ongoing up until this very moment and will be ongoing beyond and into our future throughout all of Christendom's time. And I have sat with this scripture all week. I've sat for it with it pondering, what does it look like for us, St. Cross, or if we have visitors, for any of us as followers of Jesus? What does it look like, as Bishop Curry would say, for the Episcopal arm of the Jesus movement? What does it look like for us to follow Jesus? Especially on this Sunday where we gather for our annual meeting that looks at where we have been and where we are going. St. Cross. What does it mean for us to bring good news to the poor? What does it mean for us to proclaim release to the captives? What does it mean for us to recover sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free? What does it mean for us to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? Now, in seminary preaching classes, the fancy name is homiletics, in seminary preaching classes, students are taught, don't ever ask a question in your sermon if you aren't gonna answer it. Some questions, however, they need space. Some questions, however, they need conversation. And I don't want us to rush to an answer. Rather, I want us to sit with the question of what Jesus' teaching today means to us. And I want to hear from you. How do these words that Jesus gives us work in your daily life? Now, I just said this year, we mostly read from the Gospel of Luke, and God favoring the captives and bringing liberation to the oppressed, that is the ongoing theme, one of the big things in the Gospel of Luke. We are going to be asked these questions again and again and again. And so it always points back to us. How do we follow Jesus' teaching in the life of our church and in our own lives? How do we remain true to the gospel? Now, earlier this week, I was driving out of the parking lot of a sister church, and I noticed a sign that hung in their exit. And it says, "What happens in church doesn't stay in church." I admit it gave me a good chuckle, because I was like, at first, what? Oh. St. Cross. St. Cross, we are so good at being community. How do we take that out of the parish hall and into our neighborhoods and beyond? St. Cross, you've shown it once again in the past few weeks. You are so good at stepping up to help in the face of a disaster, donating time and skills and money. In the years to come, what can we do to minister to those who were most recently displaced by fires, especially those who truly have lost everything? St. Cross, we just committed to helping the oppressed go free by housing two refugees who have come desperate to know the year of the Lord's favor that Jesus speaks of today. So don't ask a question and not give an answer. You noticed I haven't answered it yet. And what happens in church doesn't stay in church. are the two bookends that I turn to you and say, St. Cross, the sermon is yours to finish. So I want you to take your bulletin. Come on, let me see your bulletins. Hey, I'm not making you answer questions on the fly, so hang with me on your bulletin. Now first, I'm gonna have you notice that we've rearranged the bulletin, and you can now tear off the back page and have the prayer list to take home with you to pray for one another, and community news on the back so you can know what's going on. Pretty nifty, hey? That's not what your homework is. Now I want you to turn to page 8, where the gospel is. Everybody on page 8 with your gospel? You there? Rip it out. I don't hear enough ripping. I'm a classroom teacher. I know ripping when I hear it. Now, I want you to take this page home with you. Put it in your pocket or your purse, and place it somewhere in your home where you are going to see it daily, by your coffee maker, by your bedside, on the bathroom mirror. I don't know. But I want you to read daily these words from Isaiah and to pray on the question of how we are to live out and to fulfill Jesus' ministry. I want you to listen where Jesus is calling you to fulfill the very ministry he has given to us on this day. Because for as the gospel goes by each and every one of us, so goes the gospel proclaimed by the community of St. Cross. Amen.